Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, dear saints, and welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News. I am so ecstatic about being in studio today because I've had a few days off. A few days off from being on the air doing this broadcast. I have been doing other broadcasts, but I haven't been on this broadcast since last Friday that Sister Marie was in studio and we were doing that phenomenal, phenomenal broadcast on Alice Bailey Part 2. And this coming Friday, my dear brothers and sisters, you're going to get Alice Bailey Part 3. Sister Marie, as always, will be in the house this coming Friday, and you don't want to miss that broadcast. It's phenomenal. Every Friday is just phenomenal. And everybody who tunes in regularly to the Reformation News broadcast just can't get enough of the Friday night broadcast. Well, I'm here today in studio by myself, but we intend to take care of business. I want to welcome all of our listeners from Canada, all of our listeners from Norway, from Germany, from England, from other parts of Europe, from parts of Africa, from the Caribbean, and of course, from here in the United States, we have listeners who tune in from coast to coast. And we've been taking care of business doing our contemporary version of the 95th thesis, And it's tailor-made, to address the Joint College of African American Bishops. It's intended for them, for the members. I don't know how many members they have. I guess they have members. Their membership must be in the hundreds. It might be in the thousands. I don't know. I'm not privy to that information. But the bishops in the black church who are dressed in purple and in scarlet are multiplying like, let's see, what could we say? Let's say like Catholic rabbits. Yes, indeed, they're multiplying. As you know, the Roman Catholic Church prohibits contraception, and that's why I say Catholic rabbits, because they're multiplying fast. And yes, and why multiplying like Catholic rabbits? Because, you know, the harlot church, the Roman Catholic Church, is a harlot church, and she's in bed with many, including the Joint College of African American Bishops, if you ask me. And if you're not asking me, too bad, I'm telling you. Well, we have our own version of the 95 thesis. Thank God for Martin Luther's first and greatest version that kicked off the Protestant Reformation almost 500 years ago. This coming October 31st will mark the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. And we are in studio presenting to you a proposition. Each night when I come on the air, I present to you a proposition, a bullet point, a thesis, if you would. And when all is said and done, I would have given you 95 of these bullet points / well-founded criticisms on the African-American church and its Episcopal leadership. They like that word, episcopacy. Oh, they love it. So, yeah, we're going to be presenting another bullet point tonight. And thus far, what have we heard from the Joint College of African American Bishops? We've heard crickets. That's what we've heard. We've heard a whole bunch of nothing. And I thought they had scholars in that organization. I guess not. I read the bio of the lead bishop. According to his bio, he has 3 doctorates. You can't tell after reading his little book here, the bishopric. a handbook on creating episcopacy in the African American Pentecostal Church. It is one of the most ridiculous books I've ever read. And I've read a lot of ridiculous stuff. As an apologist, as a polemicist, I have been forced to read a lot of gibberish in my lifetime. This book, The Bishopric, A Handbook on Creating Episcopacy in the African American Pentecostal Church, rates right up there with gibberish. Asinine, jackass, Nehushtan gibberish. And by the way, we have two books out, Jackass Church Bishops and Nehushtan Church Bishops. I want to encourage you to go to our website and order yourself a copy of each one. I tell you one thing, I paid $20 for this book, The Bishopric, and I got nothing. This book is just complete nonsense. When you order our books, you get a whole lot of history, a whole lot of theology, a whole lot of Bible, and a whole lot of common sense. Not this nonsense I have here in my hand, which I'm going to be using tonight. Go to our website to order your copy of Jackass Church Bishops and the Nehushtan Church Bishops. When you go to the website, there's a whole write-up on each book telling you how many chapters, how many footnotes. This little book here that I have in my hand does not contain one footnote. And this guy has three doctorates. This guy has three doctorates, and there's not one end note, not one footnote. Come on. Mr. Metropolitan, you got to do better than that. Book is a joke. It's a joke. It's a whole lot of nothing. It's what this book is. A whole lot of nothing. I got it for $20. I got ripped off. If I had bought it for $5, I would have gotten ripped off. This is like a 99 cents book. Even at 99 cents, I would have said, you know, I would have been, even if I paid 99 cents, I would have been kicking myself because I would have said I got ripped off. Because even at 99 cents, it's not worth it. At 99 cents. Well, what are the rules of engagement when we deal with these propositions, when we present them? Well, our rule of engagements have a whole lot to do with love. It is our love for Christ, love for his church, love for the souls of men, and for our love of truth that I now present to you, Christ Church Universal, and to the Joint College of African American Bishops, the following propositions. We've given you 15 thus far. This will make number 16. All of these propositions are designed to expose and bring to a grinding halt the current Roman Catholic invasion of the African American Church. As you all know by now, each proposition is brief. We make a brief statement in hopes that someone over there at the Joint College of African American Bishops would arise and defend the institution who, as of today, all they're doing there is standing in the ring like a boxer and not throwing a punch. I'm in the ring. I'm throwing haymakers. I mean, I'm whacking these guys in the face, giving them jabs, right hooks, uppercuts. I mean, I am having my way with the Joint College of African American Bishops. And they're just standing there, you know, taking it in the face. So whenever we present one of these propositions, we are hoping that they would respond. But obviously, they have no defense. Therefore, they're just going to get pummeled. And do we hate the members of the Joint College of African American Bishops? The answer is no. I do hate, but I hate their deeds and I hate their doctrines. much like when Jesus hated the deeds and the doctrines of the Nicolaitans, and you will find that in Revelation 2:6 and Revelation 2:15. After presenting these propositions, we have yet to get a response from the Joint College. These propositions are designed to present to you, the reader, and the listener. Some are reading these propositions, others are listening to them on the radio. It is our goal to present to you, the reader, something to think about, something to discuss, something to debate, in hopes that we can abolish the abuses and the malpractices that are rampant in the African American church, in hopes that we can remove all of its spiritual defects, in hopes that we can put an end to all Episcopal wrongs. And Episcopacy is hurting the black church big time. Big time. Big time. Big time. Big time. Well, let me present to you proposition number 16, my brothers and sisters. And this, listen, all this stuff is just, you know, logical. Logical. So now, proposition 16 reads like this. The Joint College of African American Bishops claims that the founding of the institution was the Lord's doing. Let me read that again. The Joint College of African American Bishops claims, that's the claim, the founding of the institution was the Lord's doing, but there is no proof that Christ ordered any such thing, thus making the organization completely man-made. Let me read that to you again. The Joint College of African American Bishops claims, this is their claim to fame, that the founding of the Joint College of African American Bishops was the Lord's doing, that Christ decreed that this organization, this institution, this corpus, this body would come into existence. But there is no proof that our Lord said any such thing. And if that's the case, that makes this organization completely man-made. In other words, if it's man-made, it's worthless. If it's man-made, it was made by man for man and not for the Lord. And that's what I'm getting at today. Now, let me prove to you that this organization claims that its founding was the Lord's doing. They make the claim. They say, well, Jesus told us to do this. They that's what they claim. So let me prove to you that that is not the case. That is not the case. And that's easy to prove as I hold in my hand. Because listen, folks. This is so easy to prove. And all you have to do is take their audio and take their writings, take the stuff that's off the official website, and you just prove them wrong. Okay? Now, what is the name of the organization? What's the name of the organization? It's called the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops. That's the name of the organization. So think about this for a moment. They claim that they are what? They call themselves Pentecostals. The Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops. Okay? Okay. So, that's what they claim. They claim that they're Pentecostals. Not that they're Presbyterians. Not that they're Anglicans, because I'm reading the front cover of the book. It reads, The Bishopric, a handbook on creating episcopacy in the African American Pentecostal Church. Where are you creating this episcopacy? In the African American Pentecostal Church. It's not the African American Baptist Church. It's not the African American Methodist Church. It's not the African American Episcopalian Church. It's not the African American whatever church. It's Pentecostal. It's not the African American Presbyterian Church. It's not the African American Roman Catholic. No, it's the African American Pentecostal Church. Pentecostal. Now, what do we know about Pentecostals? Well, Pentecostals are big on prophecy. They are big on what? Prophecy. You look at the Pentecostal church, if they have 1,000 bishops, they have 1,000 prophets. Prophets are way up there. I mean, the black church has more prophets than it knows what to do with. I mean, and you go to a black church, I mean, there's prophet so-and-so and prophet so-and-so, or prophetess so-and-so has a prophetic word. And I've been to, you know, how many Pentecostal services in the African-American church? How many? A gazillion in my lifetime? And if you have a bishop, you also have prophets. If you have episcopacy, you have these people who say, thus saith the Lord at every service. At every service, they're saying, thus saith the Lord. And they're saying, if there's 1,000 people that they're prophesying to, they will say, thus saith the Lord 1,000 times in one service. These people have prophecies like a Gatling gun has bullets. You know, a Gatling gun, right, has a magazine of bullets. A magazine, and a Gatling gun will just, you just pull on that gear on the Gatling gun, and you just rotate that gear, I mean, and it'll shoot out bullets, I mean, it'll mow people down, that Gatling gun. Well, that's the way with these prophets. They, prophecy to them is like a bullet coming out of their mouth, out of a Gatling gun. They're big, the black church is big on prophets and prophetess. Who can prophesy and give you a vision. They're big on that stuff. Big on that stuff. And if you're Pentecostal. Now remember, if you're black and Baptist, you're not big on prophecy. You're not big on vision. If you're black and Presbyterian, you're not big on prophecy. You're not big on vision. The only group that's big on prophecy and big on vision is the Black Pentecostal Charismatic Church. That's the only group among African Americans that has more than enough bishops and more than enough prophets at each service. So now, here's this organization that is big on the so-called Word of the Lord. And as a student of Scripture, I'm also big on prophecy. I'm big on prophecy, but it's got to be real prophecy. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We are under the management of the other Comforter whom Jesus sent, and that was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And he is the one who distributes the gifts in the body of Christ. I believe in the gifts. I believe that the gifts are for today. But I believe in a genuine manifestation of the gifts, not this crazy stuff that we see out there by these crazy prophets and visionaries who just prophesy and peddle false visions. So, having said that, myself being a Pentecostal, a lifetime Pentecostal, born and raised and ministering in the Pentecostal church. I'm all for the Holy Spirit. I'm all for visions. I'm all for dreams. I'm all for prophecy, as long as they are legit. As long as they're legit. Well, when you read the website of the Joint College of African American Bishops, when you read this book, The Bishopric, A Handbook on Creating Episcopacy in the African American Pentecostal Church, when you listen to audio and video, when you watch video on YouTube, they talk about the Lord ordering them to start this thing, but they don't give you a prophetic word. They don't tell you how the Lord told them to do it, and there's no vision. There's nothing. There's nothing. For example, when you go to page number 8 in this book, The Bishopric, and why do I keep coming back to this book? Well, this guy is the lead founder. He's one of the four guys who started this whole thing. And among the four, it was decided that he should lead the organization because he has a certain amount of expertise. You can't tell by reading this dopey book. If he was the one that had the expertise among the four, they're in trouble. They're in trouble. Now, on page number 8 in this book, on page 8, which is part of the foreword, the person who writes the foreword, which is Bishop Carl H. Montgomery II, presiding prelate of Harvest Time Covenant Fellowship. That's who he is. He's the presiding prelate of the Harvest Time Covenant Fellowship. This is the Bishop Carl H. Montgomery II. He writes concerning the founding bishop, Bishop J. Delano Ellis II. He writes in the foreword, later, as a bishop and the presiding prelate of the United Pentecostal Churches of Christ, Bishop Ellis took the vision of his spiritual father, Bishop J. O. Patterson, as the impetus to organize the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops with Bishop Roy E. Brown, presiding bishop of Pilgrim Assemblies, Paul S. Morton, presiding bishop of the Full Gospel Baptist Church Fellowship, and Wilbert S. McKinley, the Metropolitan of the College, all sharing as its co-founders. So how was this thing started? Well, it started with a human vision. It didn't start with a divine vision. It didn't start with a heavenly vision. It didn't start with a heavenly vision. It started with a human vision. Because the gentleman who wrote the foreword said this. Later, I'm going to read it again, and I quote, later, as a bishop and the presiding prelate of the United Pentecostal Churches of Christ, Bishop Ellis took the vision of his spiritual father, Bishop J. O. Patterson. See, he took some other human being's vision. He took someone else's vision. It was not his original vision. It was not Bishop Ellis's vision, as the story goes. And it's the official story, because it wouldn't be in the book. It wouldn't be. I mean, Bishop Ellis would not allow this in the book. And I'm sure he read Bishop Carl H. Montgomery II's foreword. I'm sure he approved of the foreword and everything that was written in the foreword. So if the foreword is gospel, and we're assuming that it is, that Bishop Carl H. Montgomery II got all his facts right. He says that Bishop Ellis took the vision of his spiritual father, Bishop J. O. Patterson, as the impetus to organize the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops. So what does that tell you? The organization is man-made. God never gave this vision. It didn't come from the Lord. It came by Bishop Ellis taking Bishop Patterson's vision and putting it into motion, setting it in motion. See, that's why reading is a fundamental. Reading is a fundamental. Now, when I turn to the book of Acts, chapter 26, and all of these African-American bishops claim to be the successors of the apostles. Oh, we are the successors of the apostles. We believe in apostolic succession. Well, the apostles didn't do anything unless they got a vision from God. See, they didn't do things because they got the vision of men. They did things because they got a vision from the Lord. This is the Apostle Paul speaking before King Agrippa in Acts 26. He says, "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me." He's giving an account of his Damascus Road encounter with Jesus. Acts 26:13, verse 14. "And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But arise, stand up upon thy feet. For I have appointed thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." You see, Paul did what he did because he got a heavenly vision. Bishop Ellis and his three comrades did what they did because they got a vision from Bishop Patterson. See, Paul says here to Agrippa, whereupon, verse 19, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. I saw Christ. He spoke to me. He gave me my commission. And this is where I find myself today, in front of you, fulfilling my commission. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I did what I did because I got my orders. I got my commission from Christ." Now, Bishop Ellis and the other bishops in this group claim to be the successors of the apostles. So you would think, if that's how the apostles operated, that's how Bishop Ellis and the founding members of the Joint College of African American, that's how they should function, right? Okay. Because they are what? They're Pentecostals. So let me read to you again on page 8 of the book, The Bishopric, a handbook on creating episcopacy in the African American Pentecostal Church by Bishop J. Delano Ellis, page 8. This is the bishop, Carl H. Montgomery II, writing in the foreword. Later, as the bishop and the presiding prelate of the United Pentecostal Churches of Christ, Bishop Ellis took the vision of his spiritual father. Doesn't say of his heavenly father. It doesn't say he took the vision he received from Christ. No, it says he took the vision of his spiritual father, Bishop J.O. Patterson, as the impetus to organize the Joint College of African American Bishops with Bishop Roy E. Brown, presiding bishop of Pilgrim's Assemblies, Paul S. Morton, presiding bishop of the Full Gospel Baptist Church Fellowship, and Wilbert S. McKinley, the Metropolitan of the College, all sharing as its co-founders. You see, they're running on a man's vision. That's what I read here. And you would have to conclude the same. That you would have to conclude the same. So those of us who are Pentecostals, and I am a Pentecostal, I believe in dreams. I believe in God can give divine dreams. God can speak a word. God can give a vision. I believe in all of that. Because I can read it. I can read it in the New Testament. I can see how the apostles functioned. Peter, he is up in the house of Simon the Tanner, and he gets a vision. He gets a vision. Remember the vision with coming down with the food in it? And Peter's told by a voice in the vision, rise up and eat. And he says, not so, Lord. You see, and the vision was preparing him to go minister to this Gentile named Cornelius. It was prepping Peter, getting him ready to accept the fact that Gentiles now would enter into the church, that the church would not be made of Jews only, but also of Gentiles. You read Acts. Read Acts chapter 10. And you read about Simon's vision and how he afterwards was led by the vision to go minister to Cornelius, a Roman centurion. So visions are in the book of Acts. Here's another example of a vision. Turn with me to Acts 16. And the reason why I'm mentioning these visions is because these so-called African-American bishops claim to be Pentecostals. We Pentecostals, I mean, when it comes to visions, we're into visions. We don't want man-made visions because man-made visions lead to nowhere. We want divine visions. Now, in Acts 16, verse 6, Paul was on a mission trip. The Apostle Paul was on a mission trip, and doors were getting shut in his face. The Holy Ghost was shutting doors in his face. Acts 16, verse 6. Now, when they had gone throughout Pergia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden, they being Paul and his team, they were forbidden of the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. In other words, someone on the team got a prophetic word, and the word was, don't preach here. Keep moving. Verse 7, and when they were come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, into that region, but the Spirit suffered them not. Again, the Holy Spirit spoke through someone on the team. It goes on to say, and when they were passing through Mysia, they came down to Troas. And the vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man from Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them in Macedonia. You see, so the Lord ordered Paul's preaching in Macedonia by means of a vision. That's how things get started. You get a vision, a divine vision. Now, this Joint College of African American Bishops, according to the foreword in the book, Bishop Ellis started the Joint College of Bishops because he lifted a man-made vision, the vision of J.O. Patterson. That's how this thing started. He ran with a man's vision, not God's vision. He didn't do like Peter after he saw the vision in Acts 10. He didn't do like Peter. He didn't get a divine heavenly vision. He didn't do like Paul, as we just read now, because Paul understood when God gave him the Holy Ghost had been telling him, don't preach here, don't preach here. These doors were closed. Yet the Holy Ghost had another door that was open, another door that was more expedient, another door that had people who were hungry for God and waiting to hear the gospel. And so the Holy Ghost gave them a vision. It was a man from Macedonia, asking them to come over and preach the gospel. After Paul received the vision, we understood that God had opened the door for us, and we immediately went to Macedonia. See, we move based on God's leading, the Holy Ghost. You just read in this verse, in these verses from chapter 16, verse 6 through verse 9, the Holy Ghost was available to speak. And black folk don't have a problem hearing the Holy Ghost. They don't. I mean, Juanita Bynum gets up and prophesies all day long. Brian Kahn gets up and prophesies to the cow comes home. Manasseh Jordan prophesies to the cows come home. I mean, the black church is just full of prophets. But there's no mention of prophets here. There's a mention of a bishop by the name of J.O. Patterson, and he had this vision, and Bishop Ellis took that vision, which was a man's vision, and ran with it and used that to create the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops. Here you have a bunch of Pentecostals who aren't getting the word from the Lord. They're not getting a vision from the Lord to start things. They're leaning on the flesh. They're leaning on some man. They're running with a man's vision. Oh, it only gets better, folks. It only gets better. It only gets better. Now, on page 13 of the book, now, this is no longer Bishop Carl H. Montgomery II, presiding prelate of Harvest Time Covenant Fellowship. No, now this is Bishop J. Delano Ellis. This is the author of the book. On page 13, he writes, when this college was ordered by the Lord. Well, he says, when this college was ordered, was decreed, was founded. That's what it means. God orders it. God tells, when he orders you to do something, he's telling you to do something. Well, we know based on Paul's testimony before Agrippa, he said, I was not disobedient to the Lord's vision, to the heavenly vision. Why? Because Jesus showed up and told him, I'm commissioning you. Peter was not disobedient to the vision. It was ordered by the Lord. But there's no account of a vision. There's no record of a vision. There's no record of a prophet getting up and saying, thus saith the Lord. There's no record of that. Let me read this to you again, page 13. When this college was ordered by the Lord and it was made clear that Episcopal-style training was to become the curriculum by which we would be governed, the co-founders trusted the Lord to give us a person who would mentor us and bring honor to the name of Jesus Christ and particular glory to his church in our times. Well, when did Christ order this? You see, that's why on three occasions, Paul gives witness of when Christ ordered him. You read the book of Acts, and there are three sections in the book of Acts that rehearses how the Lord ordered Paul to preach. You read the book of Acts, how the Lord ordered the apostles to preach. He spoke to them directly. They did what they did because they were ordered by the Lord. There is substantial proof. There are episodes that we can turn to. For example, in Acts 13, and again, I go to the apostles, I go to the Acts of the Apostles, because these guys claim, number one, to be the successors of the apostles, and the apostles did nothing unless the Lord told them to do it, unless the Lord ordered them. That's number one. They claim to be the successors of the apostles, so that must mean that they must function like the apostles. And they're Pentecostals, which they are open to the move and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Well, let's go to Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Now there was at the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, such as Barnabas and Simeon that is called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, as they were in serious prayer, as they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, what happened? The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and did as the Holy Ghost said, and they sent Barnabas and Saul away. And verse 4, so they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. Now, there is no record of a prophecy. These men claim to be the successors of, well, when did the Holy Ghost, when did Christ ever tell the, it says here on page 13, when this college was ordered by the Lord. But when did that happen? What did they record the prophecy? Could they tell us who was there? They have no record of any prophecy, of any vision. They have no record. And Luke was a historian. He wrote this stuff down so that we could have a record. Again, this is the introduction. The guy's writing his introduction. He writes, when this college was ordered by the Lord, and it was made clear that Episcopal-style training was to become the curriculum by which we would be governed, the co-founders trusted the Lord to give us a person who would mentor us and bring honor to the name of Jesus Christ and particular glory to his church in our times. Well, there's no mention of Jesus speaking, of what Jesus said. They even go on to say the co-founders trusted the Lord to give us. Don't you think that if Jesus says, kick this thing off and this guy's going to lead, don't you think Jesus would say who would lead it? No, there's no record. You see, Barnabas and Saul could say, we were at Antioch. We were at a prayer meeting. We were among the prophets and teachers. We were among the leadership of the church. And the Holy Ghost said, and these are our witnesses. These are the people who can vouch for that. Now, these guys say here, when this college was ordered by the Lord. Well, when did that happen? There are no details. When these prophets in today's church prophesy, you see people writing everything down. You see it being recorded. In fact, the prophet doesn't start to prophesy and give people personal prophecies until the disc is in the disc recorder, so that when the prophet finishes prophesying over that person can get that CD with their personal prophecy. I've been around. I see how the thing works. I see what they do. When this college was ordered by the Lord, but there's no record of it. Saying that means nothing. There's no record of Jesus ever saying, get this thing kicked off. You see, the vision is man-made. The vision is man-made. And there's no record of Jesus. There's none. Now, turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16. It says, and the Lord said unto Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul? Seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel, fill thine horn with oil and go. I send thee now to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king from among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee, and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and whom thou shalt anoint for me. And Samuel did as the Lord spake. You see, what did Samuel do? He did as the Lord ordered. This guy writes here, when this college was ordered by the Lord, but there's no record of this. Where's the record? There is none. It goes on to say, verse 4, and Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and he came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, come thou peaceably. And he said, peaceably I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and he called them to the sacrifice. So now you have the town elders, and you have Jesse and his boys, and they're all going to witness this ordering of the Lord, because the Lord is ordering things. And Jesse, it says, and verse 6, and it came to pass when they were come that he, Samuel, looked on Eliab and said to himself, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. And the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. The Lord see it not as man see it, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither have the Lord chosen this. And Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, neither have the Lord chosen this. And again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord have not chosen these seven. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are all thy children here? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he comes hither. And he sent and brought him in, and he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said to Samuel, arise, anoint him, for it is he. You see, what did Samuel do? He was ordered by the Lord and did exactly what the Lord said. And it says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. You see, there's a record. Why? Because there needed to be evidence, validation, that the Davidic dynasty was of God. There's no proof that this Joint College of African American Bishops is of God. They claim when this college was ordered by the Lord, but there is no record of that. And that statement in and of itself is not a record. You see, these guys claim to be the successors of the apostles, whom God used visions to direct them and to start things. This vision here, according to this book, and that's why I picked the book apart, this vision here that Ellis used to start and organize the Joint College of African American Bishops was something that he copied or he took from Bishop J.O. Patterson, his spiritual father. He didn't get it from Jesus. He didn't get it from the Holy Ghost. He got it from a man. Then it says here, when this college was ordered by the Lord. Well, when did Jesus speak it? What credible people were present? There's no record of a prophetic word. I went to every website where this organization is found, and there's not a mention of a vision or a prophetic word, not one. And they claim to be Pentecostals. Pentecostals are open to the move of God, whereas other denominational ministers are not. Yet these Pentecostals are operating on flesh. Now, when you go to chapter 1, which is entitled chapter 1 in Bishop Ellis's book, The Bishopric, a handbook on creating episcopacy in the African-American Pentecostal Church, he writes, one late afternoon in the summer of 1994, four men were traveling from New York to Philadelphia for the purpose of purchasing vestments and insignia for the Episcopal office. While traveling, Archbishop Wilbur Sterling McKinley and Archbishop Roy Edmund Brown, both from Brooklyn, New York, along with Bishop J. Delano Ellis of Cleveland, Ohio, were discussing the need for providing assistance and training for the proliferated episcopacy within the African-American Pentecostal community. After lengthy discussion, a telephone call was made to Bishop Paul Sylvester Morton of New Orleans, Louisiana. Bishop Morton expressed his desire to join these men in forming this college, and Bishop Ellis was elected to preside over this venture. The name chosen for the organization was the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops, aka the Joint College of Bishops, and the headquarters was ordered to be situated in the seat of the founding presidency. So this is four men speaking, not the Holy Ghost. This, you see, there are four men. In Antioch, there was five. These four men were traveling in Antioch. They were ministering to the Lord and fasting. These four men began to speak among themselves. And at Antioch, the Holy Ghost said. The Holy Ghost said. The Holy Ghost said. So here you have Pentecostals who are not willing to hear what the Holy Ghost says. They just want to hear what each other have to say. This is a man-made organization, my brothers and sisters. There is no record. No record. No record. No record. No record. No record whatsoever. Now, here's the audio. Here's the audio. Here is the one and only Bishop J. Delano Ellis on YouTube This is a video entitled, What is the Joint College? What is the Joint College? It's only 3 minutes and 17 seconds long. And I pray that you would listen carefully, attentively to this short video.
The Joint College of Bishops is a vision that grew out of a perceived need for preparing.
You see, it's a vision that grew out of a perceived need. The Joint College of Bishops is a vision. It's a vision that grew out of a perceived need. You see, it was four men who perceived this need. It wasn't the Holy Ghost. It was not the Holy Ghost. This is a man-made vision that was created out of human perception. Human perception. Let me say that again. This is a man-made organization that came into existence from a man-made vision, from man-made perception, from human perception. Here it is again.
The Joint College of Bishops is a vision that grew out of a perceived need for preparing historically African-American men and women for episcopal office.
Did you hear that? It's a vision that grew out of a perceived need. Well, who saw the need? Who saw the need? Well, these four bishops did. These four bishops. Again, let me read. One late afternoon, this is page 17, in the summer of 1994, four men were traveling from New York to Philadelphia for the purpose of purchasing vestments and insignia for the Episcopal office. While traveling, Archbishop Wilbur Sterling McKinley and Archbishop Roy Edmund Brown, both of Brooklyn, New York, along with Bishop J. Delano Ellis of Cleveland, Ohio, were discussing the need. See, it wasn't the Holy Ghost who said. They were discussing the need for providing assistance and training for the proliferated episcopacy within the African American Pentecostal community. So this organization arose, came into existence out of their perceived need, not something that God saw the church needed. As in the case of Jesus meeting Paul on the road to Damascus, Paul was to be the apostle to the Gentiles. That was a perceived need. Christ had chosen Paul for this task and appeared to him to save him and to commission him, a perceived need. Cornelius was a Gentile. He was elected of God to be the first among the Gentiles to receive Christ. And Peter was chosen and was given a vision to go preach to Cornelius. Out of a perceived need that now it was time to bring the Gentiles into the household of faith. Israel needed a new king. Out of that perceived need, God spoke to Samuel and said, "Stop crying over Saul. I have already provided me. I have already sought to it. I've already handpicked somebody to fulfill him because I have already seen and have already filled the vacancy of the perceived need." But you see, all of it is initiated by God. In this case, these men are initiating. They're doing the initiating, not God. These Pentecostals, these so-called Pentecostals, are not hearing from the Holy Spirit. They're not hearing from the Lord of the church. They're talking among themselves. And not only are they talking among themselves, they're deciding among themselves. And they're creating among themselves an organization which is completely, historically, man-made.
Thank you. Joint College of Bishops is a vision that grew out of a perceived need for preparing historically African-American men and women for Episcopal office. The problem at the time and even now was the illegitimate manner in which bishops proliferated onto the church scene. They erupted on the scene motivated by personal desires for acclaim and having insufficient academic and or spiritual credentials. They had no record of ministerial formation to say nothing of the right to be called by exalted titles. This was especially true in the African-American Pentecostal tradition. This is wrong on many levels, primarily because the motivation for ministry must be drawn from a slavish commitment to the cause of Christ and the upbuilding of his kingdom. We saw the need for providing training and tools for...
We saw the need. We saw, not the Holy Ghost, we saw the need. We saw the need. We saw the need.
We saw the need for providing training and tools for perfecting leadership with a view to the bishopric. The responsibility for both protecting the episcopacy and assuring it conforms to orthodoxy includes having some measure of watch care for weeding out the unsuitable and pretenders to the chair. The very first steps beyond commitment to Christ, divine calling, and theological preparation on the part of a candidate must be the development in them of a very high moral content of character with a strong emphasis on family. It is only then that a person can truly be considered ready for episcopacy consideration. It is with this in mind that I, along with the now...
That I. Do you hear anything? And listen, folks, listen. This whole 3 minute and 17 second video is as asinine as the book. I would love to debate this guy. We can do a 4-part debate, and each part running for an hour and a half. We can do a 4-part debate, a 6-hour debate series on this 3-minute video, because the guy is just talking pure nonsense. And that's why I haven't heard from anybody from the Joint College of African American Bishops. This is jackass talk here. This is what I wrote about in the book, Jackass Church Bishops. This is complete gibberish. Hee-hawing. Now, watch him say, I. Not the Holy Ghost. Not the Holy Ghost, but I. Here it is again.
That I, along with the now Archbishop Roy Edmund Brown, the late, with the now, is with this in mind, that I, along with this in mind, that I, along with the now consideration, it is with this in mind, that I, consideration, it is with this in mind, that I, along with the now Archbishops Roy Edmund Brown, the late Wilbert Sterling McKinley, and Presiding Bishop Paul Morton, were compelled to establish this joint college.
You see, they started it, not God. They were compelled. They were compelled to build an Episcopal Babel. They were compelled to create an elevation mill. That's what they were compelled to do. This whole Episcopal thing has crippled the institutional black church. This is a plague. This is a purple plague and a scarlet fever on the black church. This is why you can see in these men a level of Nehushtan dementia. They're crazy. They're out of their minds. They've gone nuts.
With the now Archbishops Roy Edmund Brown, the late Wilbert Sterling McKinley, and presiding Bishop Paul Morton were compelled to establish this joint college. This vision has expanded to include annual congresses where...
This vision has expanded. This vision. How does something expand? I mean, how does a vision expand? Paul got his vision on the road to Damascus. It was the same. I mean, at no time did Paul say the vision has expanded. Paul got the vision from the man from Macedonia. He went into Macedonia. I mean, that's what the vision was. Come over into Macedonia and help us. You see, it's when it's man-made that it continues to expand, just like the Tower of Babel. It keeps going up and up and up and up and up and up.
Establish this joint college. This vision has expanded to include annual congresses where candidates, freshmen, bishops, and as well as seasoned bishops, they come to be instructed, inspired, and sharpened in all areas of ministries and graces. However, the college is much, much more. The Joint College of African American Bishops is a concordat of Pentecostal and like faith Christian hierarchy who have...
In other words, it's an ecumenical tent where you are getting conditioned, you are getting conditioned to accept the Church of Rome and the Anglican Church. You're being prepared to work for the Antichrist.
And like faith Christian hierarchy, who have banded together without the affliction of theological conflict.
See, there's no affliction. Why? Because they put down, they have no doctrine. There's no affliction. There's no conflict. There's no, why? Well, Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace but a sword. Jesus said, I came to bring conflict. This guy's saying, no, there is no conflict. We've removed the conflict. Well, that's called ecumenism. The whole world in one smorgasbord faith.
Who have banded together without the affliction of theological conflict.
See, if I was in his midst, we would have trouble. Because he would open up his mouth and say something stupid, and I would challenge him. And that's what he doesn't want. He doesn't want the affliction of theological, see, conflict. But that's what we're supposed to do. Jude, one of the apostles whom this man claims to follow, to succeed, he said that we should earnestly contend for the faith. There is supposed to be. There's supposed to be theological conflict. There is supposed to be.
Like faith Christian hierarchy, who have banded together without the affliction of theological conflict, but rather joined by a shared commitment to moral excellence, devotion to orthodoxy, and with a view to expanding the influence of the message of Christ in the Pentecostal tradition.
In other words, this is just jackass talk. Jackass talk. Well, saints, there you have it. There you have it. And what is the proposition? And that's why I love doing this. I mean, I can do this every day till the cows come home. And sometimes I'm not on the air. You know why I'm not on the air? Because I'm waiting for you to catch up. because I, you know, I get on a run. I'll do 5, 6, 7, 8 of these in a row. And I just have to let you catch up to where I'm at. That's why I didn't do some for a while. But I can do this. I can do this. I can get in the ring every single day and duke it out. Again, Proposition 16. The Joint College of African American Bishops claims that the founding of the institution was ordered by the Lord. That the founding of the institution was the Lord's doing, but there is no proof that Christ ordered any such thing, thus making this organization completely man-made. I think I proved my case. Using their own audio, using their own writings, using scripture. You see, the apostles, even in Acts 15, when there was a heated debate over doctrine, in the end, in verse 28, they write, "For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us." It seemed, you see, my dear brothers and sisters, a real Pentecostal does not ignore the Holy Ghost. A true Pentecostal band of ministers will tarry, will wait until the Holy Ghost speaks, and will do nothing until the Holy Ghost says. Because he is the Spirit of truth, and it is his job to lead us and to guide us to all truth. This organization is Babel-like in its origin, Nimrodic in its leadership, and will end up going nowhere. Because it is not of God. It's not of God. Well, saints, I'll be back tomorrow. I have a bunch of these propositions that I want to lay out before you. Lord willing, and if the Lord has not come back, we will be in studio tomorrow to do another one of these propositions. And don't forget that this coming Friday, Sister Marie will be with us in studio to do part 3 of Alice Bailey, the New Age Prophetess of the Mystery of Iniquity. I want to close today's broadcast with the hymn penned by the Reformer of Reformers, Martin Luther, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." God bless you.
Seek to work us woe.